Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show that explores all avenues of transformation and aims to offer some useful nuggets that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature. No matter how contrary that might seem, just like this nightingale, the bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the practical alchemist, and I'm so glad that you could join me today as we meet someone who has spent her life testing her limits in every area of life and thriving on it. I almost don't know where to start, but here we go. Rhonda Vetiri is known as one of the most powerful women in technology, with a mission to empower and inspire others. She's a global C-suite executive whose CV or resume is littered with household names, and she's also an athlete who applies a mental model in and out of the office that guides how she leads her life with others around her. Rhonda is an active leader, whether she's spearheading corporate initiatives around the world, competing in another Ironman 70.3-mile triathlon, or mentoring students and athletes. Her most recent book is called Grit and Grind, 10 Principles for Living an Extraordinary Life. Well, Rhonda certainly does that. I don't know about you, but I'm breathless at what this woman has achieved, and also curious as to how she does it. Here's how we started our conversation.
Oh, my word. Rhonda, of all the people I ever meet, you're one of the few who I could really seriously call a high flyer. I mean, you have done so much in your life, not only in the corporate world, but also in your private life. I mean, you know, your athletic achievements, shall we put it that way. How have you been able to, A, get that far, and B, sustain all of that? And then, of course, we know the answer is in your book, Grit and Grind, which we'll talk about in a bit. But tell me a little bit more about yourself first.
Oh, JJ, it's an honor to be here with UK Health Radio. A little bit about myself. I have an Italian background. My family's from Calabria. I have worked since I was 12 years old. Didn't have an option, JJ.
Ow, wow.
So I think that I know my childhood, my mom pushing me to work. Nothing came easy, has continued within my life. I grew up in swimming sports. So you mentioned my athletic capabilities. I've always been into every sport, JJ, when I was young. My mom made sure I had the discipline, and then also worked since I was 12. So I've carried that into my life, the sports aspect, because of the mentality,
yeah,
the teamwork, the health and wellness. And that's helped me sustain and grow in my career. And I talk a lot about the mental fortitude with sports within the business world. So I fell into technology, but right, health has always been in my background. And I've been a big proponent of that, JJ, my entire life.
Yeah. I noticed one of the companies that you had a senior position in is a very well-known nutrition company, which I won't mention. Well, I'll mention the name of right now, but I noticed that because that's very much where I'm coming from as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's very interesting, isn't it? Because I often wonder, the people who do get to the sort of level that you've got to in corporate life or in business life or even in sporting life, I do often wonder whether it really is a lot of it down to what was instilled into you as a child. And it sounds like that was the case with you.
Yes, I reflect back on it now, JJ. At the time when I was younger, I didn't realize it. But now everything comes back to your childhood. And I would, if you think about it, you have that moment, an intersection in your life. You make a decision, good or bad, moral compass even. And what my values were instilled in me, it came from my childhood and my upbringing and my friends around me.
Right. Yeah, that's very important. It's your community, isn't it? Which is very important as well. If you have that supportive community, then you can almost achieve anything, which you kind of have. Because you've done very, very well in your life. So let's talk then about the book. What made you write the book?
Grit and Grind. Well, what made me write the book, a lot of my, I would say, peers, male peers, kept tapping me on the shoulder. That's my second book. My first one was a dummies book about technology.
Right.
Let's not beat ourselves, those yellow and black books.
Yeah.
And this one, a lot of executives kept saying, when's your next book? And I was like, oh, do I really want to do this? And then I committed to it, JJ, but I didn't tell anyone. I didn't tell anyone because I didn't want the pressure of that deadline on myself. Because of work, it has enough pressure on it and everything else in life. But I committed to it, and it took me several years to put pen to paper. And that was hard. I did it on airplanes, flying around the world for work. And I kept it very confidential. And I'm happy I did. I'm happy everyone kept, the universe taps you. And I kept getting it.
Yeah.
When is your next book? And then I finally paid attention, said, all right, Rhonda, commit, do it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think a lot of people do get put off, especially if they're very busy, they put off writing something that they know will be of value to others. But it's just like, oh, you know, I don't want to get under, I don't have that pressure. I don't want to have the deadline. And how many times have we seen depictions of authors, you know, having writer's block because they're facing this deadline and their publisher's ringing them saying, where's the manuscript? Oh, yeah, it's half finished. And no, it hasn't even been started, right? You got all of that going on. So, yeah, clever ploy there. And it's called Grit and Grind, as you say, and I love the cover of it because you're not afraid to get your hands dirty, literally, because the cover shows you with dirty, dirty hands and a dirty face and say, you know, are you ready to get your hands dirty and achieve what you want to achieve? I mean, is that something that is really important, that analogy of getting your hands dirty?
Yes. And you have to be in the details or you cannot manage. So many executives do not dive down deep and understand what is happening. I'm not a surface manager, JJ, and you can't help your team or lead if you don't have the context, the metrics, and understand. So I've seen it across multiple companies, and I love taking time to understand. And that cover is, and that's real dirt, fertilizer.
Right.
And I didn't want that picture on the cover, JJ. That's a whole story with myself. No. But it depicts, I didn't know how else to say it and show that you need to understand and get into the details. And life is not being on the surface. You got to dive down deep into understanding yourself, understanding others, companies, and then that way you can understand where you're trying to go or at least make that North Star. So yes, that cover was very, very enlightening. I had another cover picked out, just rocks and what's at the bottom of the book. And we changed it. The publisher said, no, Ron, you should have this. And I'm like, okay.
Well, it is an eye-catching cover and literally digging through the dirt to get to the gold. Hello, this is Alchemy 101, this show. We like to dig for gold and find those nuggets. So, yeah, so you're offering up this 10-point plan or however you want to program or however you want to describe it. So tell us a little bit about that. What are the insights that you got from digging deep into how you can achieve what you want to achieve?
Yes, the 10 principles. I'll take people. Chapter 3, her name is Lori. She was not in a right job fit. And I found her from a skip level. Understanding and going 7 layers down in an organization and actually having the discussions with everyone for 21 minutes. Do you like what you're doing? Are you happy? What are your skills? What makes you tick? And moved her into a role that she's since blossomed and we still keep in touch because she wasn't utilizing, JJ, her creative side. And I'm all about science, technology, engineering, and math. And she was a composer and was a drummer and a trumpet player. And I'm just finding her, moved her into a different role. And now she's a vice president and doing great in life.
How fantastic. So what was the key there? I mean, how did you identify that she needed to move into a different role, presumably where she could express this creative side of her? But presumably she's not playing drums at work, right?
She's not, but I did have her come to team outings and open up and have drums. And people were like, we didn't know this about her.
Right.
She's creative. And that gave her confidence. I wanted her to work on her confidence too. She's an artist, and moved her into a creative role because I had a discussion with her and I dug deep into what does she want?
Yeah.
And that was how we were able to move her, and she accepted it. And she's so happy to this day, JJ. If you spoke to her now, she would say we changed her life.
Right. And so what I'm trying to get at here then is, what was the difference? So what was stifling her or creating an issue with her in that previous role? And, you know, what was the change? What was the tweak that allowed her to express herself?
She wasn't, her manager wasn't listening. They weren't having those conversations.
Yeah.
It's amazing what a conversation will do.
Mm-hmm.
And pausing and taking the time. And it was just like a hamster wheel. Let's come in and do the task. So moved her into a strategy, creative role. And then she blossomed instead of the day-to-day tactical, but she wasn't being heard.
Right, right. But it's often difficult for people, isn't it? If you're in a role in a company where you're not being heard, it can be difficult to switch and find a role where you will be heard. So how, you know, have you got any advice or any thoughts for people who might be in that? Because a lot of people will be listening to this and, oh, I know that situation very well,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any suggestions as to how you can tackle that issue?
Yes, and living and working in the UK in global environments and understanding the labor laws and work councils anywhere in the world, that's key.
Yeah.
My challenge to everyone listening is have that conversation with your manager. They should welcome it, not just at your mid-year review or annual review. Your one-on-one, just say, where am I going in my career? What makes you happy to your manager? They won't be expecting it. Let's talk about what my goals are, and how are you going to help me get there? So have that conversation, not just, oh, are you doing well? Yes, no, but strategically plan. And if your manager hasn't thought about that, that's an indication to yourself.
Right. Yes. And so you can take things from there. I understand. Yeah. And so what else then in grit and grind do you suggest for people to achieve what they want to achieve?
Get out of your comfort zone, take the hard assignments, get a mentor outside of your industry to challenge you and that you look up to. I see so many people go, I'm in this field. I want a mentor in the same field. Get someone out of the field and learn from.
That's interesting. So what is the reason for that? Is it because people are too close to you if they're in the same field? Is that the issue?
It doesn't challenge your mind and broaden it enough because
Right.
you become so siloed into one, what I call vertical, a couple topics. You need to open your mind, like traveling opens your mind, and have a different leadership style as well in a different industry.
Yeah. So it really is about a lot of courage as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Managerial courage.
Yeah. So, and courage and fear, people get very confused when we start talking about courage and fear. And so what are your thoughts about that?
Courage and fear. Well, fear, why? I always ask myself why, but I'm one that tends to run into problems and solve them, not run away. That's my personality. That's why you see me move around the companies, and I just want to help and turn around things and high performance teams. Your fear, because you care, you think you're going to fail.
Yeah.
Everyone has that. And if they don't say that, they're not telling the truth, JJ, but embrace that. I know it's hard. Embrace it. I embrace it at Ironman races, 70.3s. We all have those butterflies. We all have them.
Yeah.
And you challenge yourself. You know, you're challenging yourself when you feel it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what courage is, isn't it? It's just like knowing that there is fear there, but just going and doing it anyway, feel the fear and do it anyway, as somebody once famously said. Yeah. So, and it's the same whether you're doing an Ironman challenge or whether you're working in a company or in your own business, I guess. I think a lot of people silo things as well. So anything outside of work is very different. So, you know, you might be able to achieve this at work, but then people don't apply it elsewhere, but it's something which runs all the way through life, isn't it?
It does. And that's why it's important to know what makes you tick for active meditation and discipline. And that's why the sports aspect, JJ, from a health aspect, it keeps me sharp. I pivot, create strategic thinking, and I bring that into the workplace. So my whole life is I believe in it. I'm doing it. And folks at work see it as well. And it's important that you have that continuous flow because it helps you. It really does help you in all aspects of your life, the discipline and the goals.
Yeah. And so then I'm thinking, if somebody has not had the start in life that you had, where you were instilled with this discipline, where you were shown how, you know, working brings results, or, you know, how to get on in life, let's say. So let's say there is somebody listening to some, many people probably listening to this, and they're saying, yeah, but I didn't have that. And I don't really know quite how to go about that. Is there any one thing that people can do just to really kind of kickstart this approach to their life? Because it's, I see people everywhere who kind of fall back into this kind of, oh, yeah, but notion, right? How do you get past the, oh, yeah, but?
I would say, here's a little tidbit. Start your alarm clock 15 minutes early. Get up. Don't look at your phone. Challenge yourself that way. That will be hard. Let's face it.
Yeah.
And do something stretching or walking. I encourage stretching and set yourself for the day your intentions. That will help you gain confidence and write down a goal even more. And it takes an average, 30 to 45 days to get into a routine, JJ. And then start stacking upon that foundation. You have to start with something small, not just a big bang approach, because people get overwhelmed and they won't sustain it.
Right. Yes. And it's that overwhelm, I think, that really gets to most people. So it really is these bite-sized chunks to get you into the rhythm. And so it brings me on to another question I have for you. This rhythm. So you are doing all this work in the corporate world, but you're also doing Ironman challenges. How do you manage that? How do you manage your life, your time, in order for you to do these things?
Yes, I talk about in the book, time is currency. So I look at my life in a year, chunks at a time, plan the races, the triathlons, the 70.3s, the endurance racing. We raced across America last year, 3,070 miles on a bike.
Oh, wow. A push bike. Yeah.
Pedaling across America. Yes.
Wow.
That was last year. That was 7 days, 8 hours and 55 minutes to complete that from California to Annapolis, Maryland. But I look at it in chunks of time and month by month, plan out the racing, the board meetings you have a year in advance, usually the racing you can plan a year in advance. And then I work backwards with the work schedule.
Yeah.
If I don't have a race, JJ, I don't continue my flow. So that's myself holding myself accountable, but I plan my life out like that. My girlfriends know I'm going to throw a party a year in advance. They have the date a year in advance.
Oh my God.
Everything is planned out. Now, some folks might say, oh my gosh, that's overwhelming. It takes time.
Yeah.
But if you don't write it down and commit to yourself, it won't happen.
So that's one of her secrets. Such powerful focus. Right now, though, we have to take a very short break. Back right after this from our station sponsors.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears. Beef and Skittles. Cider with Rosie. Common or garden. Ant and deck. Fish and chips. Mum and Dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and my guest, the powerhouse that is Rhonda Vetiri. Before the break, Rhonda was talking about how she writes everything down, and I wanted to clarify whether that means putting pen to actual paper.
Yes, even though I'm in technology, I have a calendar that has pen to paper, and that helps me mentally write it down, and that's my accountability to myself going, oh, I've inked it. It's not just typing in a phone. It's a different, it really is a mental goal. And I feel like I own it more when I write it down. That's just my personality. That's just pen to paper.
Well, I mean, you say it's just your personality, but I know for myself that if I don't write something down, I very easily forget it and it doesn't sink in. I have to physically, with a pen or a pencil, write something. And yes. I've even started, holding up a pen. I've even started keeping a physical diary calendar as well as my online calendar. Same. So I, two reasons for that. One, so that I don't lose everything if something awful happens online. Secondly, that I actually have things written down so I really do remember them more, you know. And you don't know what's going to happen in life. You could lose lose all your access to your technology, and then where would you be? But I find that writing things down really helps, and it helps me organize my brain or organize myself so that I don't know if you feel this. I won't second guess, but I somehow feel more secure or confident because things are written down. Do you find
agree.
That?
I do. I have both as well. But writing it down, I take it on the plane with me as well. And I like to look at things long term. Mm. And off my device for your eyes as well.
Yeah.
is important.
Yeah, yeah. And the diary I have for this year, it has one of those lovely planners that you can actually see the whole year in one go. Now, I'm not as organized as you, so I haven't really kind of engaged with that yet. But it's there should I want to do that. And sometimes I do think to myself, well, maybe I should just sort of plan things out a little bit more. And then I might actually achieve a bit more. So, yeah, and maybe I'll get your book and get more tips on how to do that. So it is interesting, isn't it, that writing thing is very important and that planning thing is very important. Now, a lot of people will say, oh, yeah, but, you know, I don't really hold with goals and all of that. Well, I understand that. But, maybe you don't have to have set goals, but maybe it's a good idea to just kind of know what you're working towards so that you can actually, you know, organize your time better.
Right. I just put something out there and I call it reverse engineering in the book.
Yeah.
Declare it and then work backwards. That's fine. As long as you have incremental steps to where you want to go and not moving backwards.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. That reverse engineering is really, really very useful. Yeah. You're quite right. So, you know, saying, okay, I'm going to write this book. I want it to be published by. So what do I have to do when? In order for that to happen. Yeah. Or I would like to leave my job and, you know, go become self-employed by this point. So what do I need to do? At what stage in order for that to happen? Because otherwise you can be sitting around saying, yeah, I want to go self-employed. And then you get to your, you know, the date that you've said and nothing's happened. You're still there. You're still working. You still thinking, I want to be self-employed. And, you know, not just for work either, in your personal life. I mean, you were saying, I mean, I can't believe, planning parties a year ahead. I mean,
Yes. And all the girl, my girlfriends that from 2 years old to sixth grade, there's a lot of them. I'm very loyal. Again, coming back to the first point, community is important.
Yeah.
So there's about 30 women that know the first weekend in December, we just had it. It'll happen again. I've been doing it for over 13 years. It's a staple in their life. They know they're going to come to New York. We're all going to be in one room, JJ. We'll celebrate each other, our accomplishments for the year. I go around and talk about how grateful I am to all of them, what sticks out that they've done, and for their goals. And
Yeah.
really, I think it's important that we have that and continue that dialogue, and it's a safe environment
Yeah.
that we can all celebrate each other and help each other through challenges in life. But that's the year in advance planning. And they appreciate it. There's no excuse, JJ, if they don't show up because they know about it.
Because they've known about it for a year. Exactly. But what a beautiful thing to do to spend some time in with your community together in one room and celebrate each other. Gratitude, is that an important part of your daily life as well?
Daily life, I wake up and I send three gratitude messages a day out of the blue to folks that don't even know I'm grateful for them. And this year's gala was called the Girlfriend Gratitude Gala.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. So and do you find I find that a gratitude practice is very helpful. I find it's empowering, actually. So is that something that you would say as well, that it does empower you? There's something about that gratitude element in your life that really sets you alight almost.
It does, and it all the everyone I'm reaching out to have brought me joy, and I just want to give that light to others.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People listening to this might say, yeah, but yeah, what's that got? How does that help me? Well, it does though, because it's that energy of passing on that flame, if you like, of light that really empowers you as well. So what a fantastic thing to do. And maybe you don't have to have a gala, a girlfriend's gala, but you can maybe have a get together with your friends, and maybe people that you haven't seen for a long time can come together, and that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? It's really empowering. Yeah.
It's empowering, and friends that we hadn't seen each other from COVID. And I had girlfriends say, Rhonda, I didn't realize how much I needed this. The only thing I said to him, JJ, was show up with a dress, heels, and a smile. And I'm just grateful for all of you and just be on time.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. And that's a great way to issue a party invitation, just turn up with your frock, your dress, and a pair of heels, and we'll all have a good time. So it sounds to me, and talking to you now, I can see that you have a great deal of energy. And see, this is the other thing that people seem to think, that if you're very successful, you're going to be exhausted all the time. How do this must be part of your strategy, if you like, for managing your energy as well.
It is. I know what I love to give off and give back. There's givers and takers in life, and
Yeah.
I'm a giver. So that's my energy, and that brings me more energy and fuels me to push through large meetings, long days at work. As long as I have a no day is balanced, let's say that, but balance in my life. Here's the
Yeah.
friendship category. Here's the family category. Here's the giving back. Here's the work. All of that feeds the energy wheel, JJ. Thank you for pointing that out. Because if you're just doing one thing, you're going to get, it's not a good feeling. You need
Right.
to, you don't feel like you're living your best life either.
Yeah, exactly. People talk about work-life balance. I prefer just to say life balance because, I tend not to make a distinction too much. But you do need to do different things. And then what other people have mentioned to me is the importance of rest and recuperation. So is that something that you factor in as well?
Yes, I wear this Whoop band. I know people can't see it on the radio,
Oh yeah, I
but
only learned about those recently. I'd never heard of one before. I can see it on your wrist. Yeah.
technology, data. I'm a data person, as folks probably know by now, about
Yeah.
managing yourself and businesses and outcomes. but rest is important. Sleep is a weapon. If you don't have the right sleep, and it's going to go haywire with different time zones working, but I measure it and I'm very diligent to it, because you can't perform as an athlete without rest either, or in and out of the workplace.
Right. Right. Yeah. Especially as an athlete, you have to have that recuperation time, don't you? Otherwise you just burn out. You can't perform. Yeah. And so the sleep, yeah, very important. That's, I think, becoming more and more widespread now that people understand the importance of sleep for many, many different reasons, but overall health definitely. And then nutrition now, mentioned before that you had a position with a well-known nutrition company. So is that also presumably something that you really take care of in your life?
Yes, nutrition and sleep. It's hard when you're on the road. I do bring my own. Well, if I'm on a long airplane flight, JJ, mm-hmm. I bring my own. I will not eat the airplane food. Nothing.
Well done.
No
you.
Offense to anyone. Yeah. Really, I'm getting even more better at plant-based diet. That was one of my goals for this year, even better. But I am a protein. I know what I eat for my blood type. There's a book on that.
Right.
So I know what gives me energy for that in my health.
Yeah. Yes. It's interesting you say that. I was just thinking about that the other day, because somebody had mentioned how they do well on a vegan diet. And I thought, yeah, but I don't. And I was thinking probably that's blood type, right? Probably
it is.
Yeah. So it's knowing what's right for you, listening to your body, knowing what is good for you, knowing what effect certain foods have on your body as well. And
gut health.
Gut health. Absolutely. But, the whole idea of you do so much traveling crossed my mind that it probably would be very difficult, unless you did take your own food with you, to sustain a really balanced diet, because let's face it, not many airlines do really great food. And I tend not to bother unless I'm on a very long flight, in which case I'll take my own as well. Yeah. And then, you know, traveling, doing all the traveling that you do, I'm guessing that you also have a strategy for making sure that doesn't impact you too much either. You're traveling between different time zones all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you manage things like jet lag and just being, you know, getting to a different...
Yeah, so going to India, long flight. I use these long flights for intermittent fasting too.
Uh-huh, okay.
So that helps. And when I land, I'll have spaghetti bolognese. I'll say ahead of time, I don't want to offend anyone, but I know what makes me work. Spaghetti bolognese. And I'll go to the gym and sweat out the jet lag. And then I'm back on track.
Wow. Right. So you've worked out what works for you in those circumstances. Yeah. And don't apologize for saying spaghetti bolognese.
Well, in India, they're like, you don't want curry and rice? So I'm like, I'm sorry to offend you, but this is just the diet that I've known for years and what works. Otherwise, I will crash my energy.
Yeah. And it's what you were brought up with, presumably, that kind of thing. Although spaghetti bolognese, you know, the spag bol that we know here in the UK isn't quite the same probably as the one that you would have. But it's the same kind of idea. Yeah. It is one of our staples here in the UK, of course, spaghetti bolognese. So that and Indian curry. Which is also very good for you because of all the spices and the turmeric and everything else in it. But so it's great for people to work out what works for them. Not one size fits all. That doesn't ever work. You know, nobody can tell anybody how you should live, because you have to work that out for yourself in many areas, like nutrition. None of us is the same.
No, and I would encourage everyone, if you have a coach, I don't anymore because I know it works for my body. And it's, unless you're living the life, it's hard for a coach to say, you're going to Singapore, India, what? You can't just sit here and have a normal training and nutrition schedule. You have to do what works for you. And it takes discipline to follow your and feel your body too on what you respond to. That's important.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so I know what I do to listen to my body. I've never asked anybody this before, but how do you tune into your body? I know what I do. I just sit quietly and just feel into my body and maybe silently ask a question, you know, is this good for me or should I, you know, I don't know. What do you do?
I swim.
Yeah.
I come into my body then and my thoughts come to me and I feel every ounce of my body and my thoughts are crystal clear in the water and in tranquil environment. And maybe it's the sound of the water, but that's how I tune into myself.
Fantastic. Now, do you swim in a pool, indoor pool, or do you swim in the sea? I swim in the sea. I've just actually had a swim just this afternoon. Yeah.
Great,
virtually every day I go for a swim in the sea all year round. I don't wear a wetsuit, right? This is the east coast of Scotland, but I don't wear a wetsuit. And I do find people who listen to the show will be sick to death of hearing me talking about this, but it does come up a lot. I do find that it really helps in many, many other ways. But it also, yes, you're right. There is that element of when you're in the water, everything goes really still and quiet, and you can really, unless the waves are really bashing you around, you can really tune into your body. So, but I'm guessing you don't swim in the sea in New York.
Oh, I swim in the pool, but in the Ironman 70.3s, we're in the sea, we're in lakes, and I love open water swim. I'm a scuba diver as well, but to train, it's an Olympic sized pool here in the community.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Scuba diving. Now, there's a way of really just getting away from everything and just floating. Oh, so beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. What a great thing to do. Honestly, I love your energy and thank I you. Love the way that you've created this life for yourself, which is obviously really giving you so much energy and so much passion. And the book, it just sounds like a brilliant way to energize other people. We're nearly coming to the end here. So people can find out more about you at your website, can't they? But they can also buy the book. You've got a separate website for the book as well, haven't you?
Yes. And on Amazon, they can buy it off of Amazon as well.
Yeah. So, and it's Grit and Grind. And so I think the website for the book is gritandgrindbook.com. And then you have your own website where people can find out more about you as well. Tell us about that.
Sure. It's rondavetere.com, V as in Victor, E-T-E-R-E.com. And there's a tab on there for author and it'll take you to the book website as well.
Fantastic. Yeah. And do you have any tips or any things on the website, or is that much more a sort of a corporate website?
I have a lot of tips on that website, about how I give back, the races and the 10 principles. So there's a tab for everyone, JJ.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And before we do go, here's the thing that I'm really intrigued by. What is it like to do any kind of Ironman challenge? Because I'm sitting here thinking, I don't think I could. And anyway, at my age, I don't think I should probably, but then that's being ageist. So who knows? But, you know, I'm just thinking, what is it like to do that? Is it really grueling?
It is grueling. The 70.3 miles is grueling, but you talk about the fear and going for it heads down. Pushing yourself helps you and you work a lot out. The swim is 1.2 miles, 56 mile bike. This is back to back. You don't stop.
Yeah. Exactly.
And running 13.1. So you need to know your body.
Yeah.
You know your nutrition. You need to plan.
Yeah.
And it's all mental because you can do more than what your body thinks. It's all mental to push yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that just reminds me, I was listening earlier to a radio show with the comedian here, Eddie Izzard, on it, who has a habit of doing like mental things like, you know, 40 odd marathons in 51 days or something like that. And he just pushes himself and pushes his, and it's extraordinary, actually, what the human body is capable of, isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so
growth mindset. I live it.
Yeah. So you're just living proof of that, and how wonderful. So we need more people like you in the world who can fly the flag for high achieving, well, not even high achieving, but just, you know, the potential, just showing the potential of each and every one of us, because we all have it, don't we?
We do, JJ. And that's why I've been on this mission in my life, working since 12, nothing's instant gratification, continue to push myself, don't get stagnant, and take your health very seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. Take your health very seriously. That could be a mantra for this station. Absolutely. Take responsibility for your health, right? Yeah. Well, Rhonda, thank you so much for coming on my show today. I've absolutely loved speaking with you and hearing about how you live your life and what a wonderful place you're in. So thanks so much.
Thank you for caring.
Rhonda Vetiri there, a true high flyer who can give us all a few tips on how to live a healthy, happy life and achieve great things. Time for another break now, though. I'll be back with more after these messages from our station sponsors.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 on UK Health Radio and the UK Health Radio podcast with me, JJ, the Practical Alchemist. And now something a little different. I mentioned cold water swimming a lot, as you've already heard today, but I haven't really gone into it in any depth, if you'll excuse the pun. So I thought it might be a good time to go through some of the benefits and also the do's and don'ts if you want to start swimming in your local river, lake, or your favourite seaside spot. And you'll notice a few sound effects for good measure in here. I've been swimming in the sea near me through two winters now, and I love it. I know a lot of people don't get that, but I really do. Yeah, even when the air temperature is literally freezing, I've swum while it snowed, rained, been windy or sunny. The weather never stops me from enjoying the experience. So why do I do it? Well, I'm sure it makes me less susceptible to any bugs that fly around in winter, but it's also the feeling of well-being I get that takes me back into that cold water time and time again. I even miss it when I'm not doing it these days. I just love literally immersing myself in nature, and I feel refreshed mentally, emotionally, and spiritually after even the shortest swim. Seeing the marine wildlife, the whales, dolphins, and seals, the seabirds, hearing those birds calling, and the seals singing. I love that. It's just magical. It's also a great way of meeting people and forging new friendships. Where I am, the camaraderie amongst us cold water swimmers is wonderful. And groups of us meet regularly to take a dip, or a dook, as we call it in Scotland. Well, that's all very well, I hear you say. What about the science? Okay, here are some facts that researchers have found. For a start, cold water does have a positive effect on the immune system. It helps to boost our white blood cell count, and that's because we're forcing our bodies to deal with changing conditions, and over time, our defences get better and better at kicking in and making sure that we deal with all those nasties.
Now, you'll hear people talking about the rush they get after a cold water swim. And that's because it's an activity that releases endorphins, those feel-good hormones. Cold water swimming challenges and stresses our bodies, and that brings out the endorphins to help us cope. It's also a form of exercise, so that can help with depression. And I really can vouch for the fact that if I'm at all low or grumpy, a swim literally washes all of that away. Honestly, it really does. Another thing it does is improve circulation, and repeated exposure adapts us to the cold. So I must have adapted pretty well, because a friend commented recently that I always behave as if I've just stepped out of a warm bath when I get out of the water these days. And I have to admit that my tolerance to cold generally has increased enormously. Now, you'll all be familiar with the idea of throwing a bucket of cold water over someone to cool their sexual urges. But a cold water dip actually has the opposite effect. It boosts estrogen and testosterone production, so it increases fertility and libido, which in turn actually can lead to more confidence, higher self-esteem, and a better mood. It's also been proven to burn more calories than you would swimming in warmer conditions, because the body has to work that much harder to keep everything warm. And lots of studies have shown a link between cold water and stress reduction. Cold water swimmers become calmer and more relaxed, I promise you. I can definitely testify to that. A lot of women going through menopause say it helps them, and there are lots of studies going on right now to see whether there is a quantifiable correlation. And one of my local swimming groups definitely gives it the thumbs up. They call themselves the Menopausal Mermaids. So all in all, it's a great habit to get into. But as with any activity, always make sure you're safe. So here are some do's and don'ts. Don't start in the middle of winter. Start when the weather's warmer and allow your body to acclimatise. Keep swimming as the temperature drops, and then your body will get used to the cold. That's how I've managed to swim through 2 winters now. Or nearly 2 winters. We haven't quite finished this one. Only ever swim where it's safe. And make sure that you can get in and out of the water quickly and easily. Also, never swim on your own, especially when you're still acclimatizing to cold water swimming. Accidents can happen really easily, and you don't want to risk hypothermia. In other words, if you fall over and hurt yourself and can't move very well, there's a high risk that you'll become hypothermic before help gets to you. Now, what to wear? Here's the thorny subject. I always say we're not at a fashion show. Whatever keeps you warm and comfortable is the order of the day. Wear a swimming hat, either a woolly hat or a thermal swimming cap, and that'll keep you warm. Stop the heat loss through your head. Your extremities get cold first in the water, so neoprene gloves and booties or beach shoes are a must, I think, especially in the colder months. You can wear a wetsuit if you prefer. I don't. I just don't like the hassle of getting it on and off. And I also feel that by the time you've got your wetsuit off, you get colder, whereas if you're just wearing a swimsuit, you can whip that off quickly and get something warm and dry on. Now then, do make sure that you have warm and dry clothes to change into afterwards. Have a hot drink standing by to help warm up your core, and don't jump into a hot shower immediately. It's best to warm up gently. Getting into the water can be challenging, especially at first. Don't dive or jump in unless you're used to it. I never do, even now. Cold water shock is a real thing, and it can be extremely dangerous, so I prefer to ease myself in gently, even as probably by now a fairly seasoned cold water swimmer. It just makes more sense to me. Let go of any need to prove how brave you are. Just a couple of minutes can be good enough in winter, especially. A general rule is to spend 1 minute in the water for every degree of water temperature, but you need to listen to your body. And some say the positive effect of cold water tails off after 5 minutes anyway. So really, there's no point in setting out to prove that you can stay in longer than the rest of us. No, it doesn't really work that way. So there you go. Cold water swimming really is for anyone. I love the sense of community, the all-welcome attitude. You don't have to be super fit or have a model figure, far from it. Nobody cares about any of that in my experience. So why don't you, if you're interested, find out where people swim locally to you and give it a go? Because it really is more fun than you can imagine. Just stay safe. That is the main thing. And if you do want to find out more, because there is a lot more to find out, believe you me, all you have to do is Google cold water swimming or outdoor swimming, and you'll find websites like that of the Outdoor Swimming Society, which is outdoorswimmingsociety.com, or there's another one, swimsecure.co.uk. There's plenty of them around. And you'll also find Facebook groups as well dedicated to cold water swimming, so check those out as well. And these are websites that will tell you the safe places to swim, where groups regularly swim, and you can join those groups online and find out what times people are going into the water so that you can go safely in a group. It's much more fun anyway than trying to go it alone. So enjoy. Start this summer if you haven't already started and see whether you get hooked on cold water swimming just like me. And with that, we've come to the end of the show. I hope you'll join me here on Alchemy 101 and UK Health Radio again for more inspirational guests. If you're listening to the podcast on your preferred podcast platform and you like what you hear, I'd love it if you could subscribe and share this episode. And it would be amazing if you could leave a review too. Remember, we also have a sister publication, Health Triangle Magazine, so do check that out too. You'll find it at ukhealthradio.com. I look forward to being with you again, but for now, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.